This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Unfortunately, TJ Inman cannot join us today, and he'll be replaced by Matt Weaver of Peaks.com, who was kind enough to join us at last minute in co-hosting duties. TJ has a sick child, and we wish him the best of luck tonight doing that. He did send us our predictions, so when we get to predictions, we'll give TJ's. But before we get into the show, we have a word from our friends over at MyBookie. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. For this week only, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game, which is on Thanksgiving. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. If you got extra, you got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join now, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code CHAIR, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for this week only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. That actually sounds like a terrific deal. But right now, we are talking to Matt Weaver from Peaks. Matt, how are you?
I'm sorry, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Matt?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I missed what you said. It was kind of breaking up.
I just wanted to welcome you to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for jumping in for TJ, who's dealing with a sick kid. We're going to talk about Indiana's game against Purdue coming up, a little bit about the Michigan game as well. But I wanted to talk to you. Indiana did get a commit this morning. How is recruiting going for IU?
Well, it's going pretty well. I mean, during the season, it kind of slows down. I mean, obviously, they're recruiting every day, and on their bye week or bye weeks, as it was this year, they're out, you know, seeing guys. But, you know, there's not – it's more unofficial visits during the season, not a ton of officials. I mean, the big recruiting weekends for Indiana before the early signing date, which is, I think, December 18th to the 20th. The big recruiting dates will be December 6th and then December 13th, the first two weekends there in the month of December. And that's when they'll bring a bunch of guys in on both weekends and you know, obviously try to hopefully wrap up this class. But you may have to carry it over into February and maybe grab another guy or two. And obviously if there's any attrition after the bowl game, because the bowl game – would be after signing day. If there's any attrition and you need to fill those spots, you would do that obviously in the second signing period, which, you know, used to be the one signing period for college football. So it's going pretty good. They picked up Vinny, I think it's Sierry from, he's from Massillon, Ohio, Perry High School, 6'4", 300-pound guard. I've heard him described as a Wes Martin, Simon Stepanek type of O-lineman, tough guy, physical, will be a guard or center for the Hoosiers and plays at a really good program over there in Eastern Ohio, kind of Northeastern Ohio. So nice get for the Hoosiers, and it's obviously at a position of need in this recruiting class.
Yeah, I was reading up on him earlier today down in Bloomington, and it sounds like he has that nasty streak that you need in an offensive lineman. He's better at run blocking, working in that wing T offense they run over at Perry, and maybe he redshirts next year, and it sounds like he'll be in for spring, which will help him develop pass blocking and get used to this Indiana offense. Anything else that we need to be aware of on the recruiting side for Indiana?
Yeah, DeMarze Lewis, defensive tackle from out of Griffin, Georgia, was in this past weekend on an official visit. He came in Saturday because he had a game on Friday. And so it was a little bit of an abbreviated official visit, but still came in Saturday, went home Sunday afternoon and had a great visit. He's going to actually make his announcement on Thursday on Thanksgiving. And I think Indiana's in the driver's seat. You hate to, count the chickens before they hatch, but I will be surprised if it's not Indiana. I think it's going to be them, and he would be a heck of a get. He was originally committed to Auburn and opened it back up and has got a bunch of offers, a bunch of SEC schools, and would be a really good interior defensive lineman for IU. Could play the three tech, probably could play the nose tackle, athletic guy, brings in maybe an element, a pass rushing element that they don't really have on the inside of their, on the interior of their D-line right now. So would be a heck of a get, you probably describe him as an SEC defensive lineman, and obviously, those guys are usually pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. That would be a huge get, and it's something that exposed itself on Saturday against Michigan. Let's take a quick look back at Indiana's game against Michigan. It was a 39-14 loss. I thought IU started out really well. They took the opening drive down for a touchdown. Defensively, they forced Michigan into a third down, and it seemed all day Michigan, they were only 5-for-12 on third down, surprisingly, but it seemed all day that they came up with that big play when Indiana had them pinned back to take it down the field and score. Indiana would take a 14-7 lead in the second quarter after and then it kind of went downhill from there. I thought the game kind of changed when Peyton Ramsey got smoked on an interception with the shot to the ribs. I thought his throws were a little bit off, and he was hurting. And that's not to knock Ramsey. You just could tell maybe he was still feeling the effects from the hit he took against Nebraska. But you could definitely tell he was hurting, and it affected his throws a little bit. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I thought so. The offense was really clicking, and they came out, played – went down the field and scored had a nice first quarter. And I think obviously some of it was also Michigan did some different things. Their D-line, caused some problems for Indiana. But I don't think there was definitely a change in the effectiveness of the passing game after Ramsey got hurt. It just seemed like he would admit it and give the kid a ton of credit because he is just, he's as tough as they come. But I don't think he was fully healthy. I think that's pretty obvious, and I think it affected his ability to do some things, and then therefore affected Indiana's ability to be productive on offense.
Yeah, I thought offensively, the game kind of changed after that interception. Tom Allen today alluded to that it was that holding call on, I think it was a 4th-and-2 that. It looked like Indiana had it picked up, but there was a hold on Matthew Bedford. They had to call it back and ended up punting. At the very least, that game there is probably 24-17, if not 24-21. Instead, two plays later, Michigan is in the end zone with a 32-14 lead, and it kind of sucked the air out of the stadium. Allen came under some criticism by local indie media today, saying he was too aggressive, but not aggressive enough and just wanted to get out of there. Indiana was banged up. They lost Ty Freifogel for a period of time. They lost, you know, Peyton Ramsey had to be taken off the field by trainers. He came back in, of course. And then you had Stevie Scott was out for one period of time and then missed the rest of the game after getting injured later in the game. And then Matthew Bedford had to get carted off. Is Allen said that, you know, WAP's going to be back this week and that nothing long term with Stevie Scott and Matthew Bedford is the worry. But was Allen too conservative there and Kalen DeBoer too conservative there in the fourth quarter, or was this, hey, we're not going to score 25 points against Michigan in the last 10 minutes. Let's get out of here. And I think Kalen DeBoer said, don't let Michigan beat you twice this week at the press conference, and just get out of there while you still have your health for the most part.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. And I like to go for it on the fourth down. And if not for the holding call, like you said, they would have got it. And then in the fourth quarter, you know, let's be honest, you put up 14 and a little more than three quarters on Michigan's defense. I mean, you're not going to drop 25 on them in the last, you know, 10 or 12 minutes or whatever to get back in that game. So, like you said, you had two starters on offense down. You're already, you know, you already down a couple starters. I mean, Peyton Ramsey kind of started with Penix. Obviously, he's been out. And Michael Penix, the quarterback, and then WAP was out. And Fryipogle got banged up a little bit. I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, you still got games to play. And you know, trying to push the issue and trying to be heroic in a game where the outcome was pretty much not, you know, already decided – didn't make sense. So I think the criticism there is really off base and you know, pretty silly in my opinion.
And then defensively, to me, look, Indiana looked bad on defense, but what people are kind of missing here is that, you know, Michigan's wide receivers are pretty good. Shea Patterson's a former five-star quarterback. This was a very talented Michigan offense, and over the last few years they didn't perform up to their level, and that's kind of why, you know, that you had the Jim Harbaugh's in trouble kind of stuff, and now they're finally clicking and living up to their ability. Was this a case? And I thought it was Indiana misplayed some plays, but there are some throws that Shea Patterson made, and receivers just went up and got it. And as good as Tywan Mullen has played all year, it's really tough being a 5'10 corner going up against a 6'4 wide receiver when the quarterback's putting the ball in a place where only his guy could get it. Was it a mix of IU just being overmatched personnel-wise and kind of them not playing up to their ability as to why Michigan, you know, threw for 366 yards and five touchdowns?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, obviously, the game plan on defense was to take chances, to send extra guys to get pressure because, you know, Indiana has just struggled, you know, to get consistent pressure with just their front four guys. And when you do that, you're going to put guys on an island. And against, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins and the guys they've got, That's a tall task for anybody. I don't care if it's Indiana's DBs or Alabama's DBs or Ohio State's DBs. That's a lot to ask. I mean, those are legit next level guys. And, you know, to put them in a one-on-one matchup. And then, you know, if you don't get home on the blitz or you don't force Shea Patterson to get rid of the ball a little bit sooner than he wants to, or you don't move him off the spot or anything like that, he can kind of stand back there, which he was able to do. You know, it's just too hard. And I didn't have a problem with the game plan because I think that's what you had to do if you're Indiana. And they're working on it, but until you can get one or two of those, you know, D linemen, and like I talked about earlier with DeMarze Lewis, maybe he's one of those guys that a team has to scheme for, and one-on-one he can make, you know, I think Ken Womack said it today, it's not just the one-on-one matchups on the back end, it's the one-on-one matchups on the, you know, a D-line against O-line or whoever it may be, your guy blitzing and it gets their blocker who picks them up. You know, that can be the difference there too. And so, you know, I had no problem with the game plan. I'd rather be aggressive like that than sit back in the zone and watch them, you know, just methodically pick you apart and you really don't have a chance. So I like the game plan. It just, you know, their guys were better, and I'm sure there was technique and scheme things, but those are really good players that Michigan has. And whatever happened at halftime of that Penn State game, you know, Jim Harbaugh and that staff should bottle it, try to sell it, because whatever they've done, this is a totally different Michigan team since that point.
Yeah, it definitely has been. I think they had played their 14 best quarters of football before the IU game under Jim Harbaugh, and you could extend that up to 18 quarters now. And yeah, I thought they might sleepwalk through this with Ohio State coming up next, and I was wrong. Never on paper was it Michigan's not good and Indiana's just better than them. It was, you know, they're probably – I thought they would sleepwalk through this one. The weather would be a factor and things like that. So let's move on to the bucket game, Matt. It's on Saturday at noon. And it's on ESPN2 up at Ross-Ade Stadium. So Purdue is 4-7. They have battled their own injury concerns. They lost Elijah Sindelar and Rondale Moore on the same play against Minnesota. They lost Jack Plummer with an ankle injury against, I believe, Nebraska. They're sitting at 4-7. They're not going to bowl. This is, as we've talked before, is their bowl game. You could expect Jeff Brown to throw the kitchen sink at them. Just what does Purdue do well enough to put some kind of worry into Indiana?
Well, they do have one of the best passing attacks in the Big Ten, even though they're down to a third string quarterback and without, you know, arguably. At least, you know, arguably the top receiver, at least last year in the Big Ten or one of the top, and Rondale Moore, they've still been able to throw the ball all over the place on teams. And I would expect that's what they're going to try to do this week. And, you know, they struggled to run the ball. Defensively, they've had their struggles. I think they're going to try to, you know, I would guess you try to come out fast, get some scores, get up on Indiana, and then try to dictate the flow of the game from there. So, obviously Aiden O'Connell is a, third string walk-on, but he's actually performed pretty well. They still have some talent. David Bell's been terrific as a true freshman. I mean, as good as I thought he was going to be, he's even better than that. Defensively, the way Indiana has, you know, struggled last week, I mean, if I'm Purdue, I'm probably having some confidence going into this game that we could throw the ball. Now, you know, I don't think they have as good as some of their skill guys are. I don't think they have, you know, Michigan's skill guys yet, and then obviously O'Connell's not Shea Patterson, but their O-line is not Michigan's O-line, but, you know, they'll probably be able to have some success through the air. The key for Indiana, in my opinion, is limiting the big plays, make them have to grind it out, you know, because I think if you do that, you get a chance to stop them, get them off the field. And then offensively, you know, whether Stevie Scott plays or not, try to get the run game going a little bit with whoever's back there. And Watt being back, Watt Fillier being back, a receiver is huge. He's such a big part of the offense. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game. Many at Purdue games are always, you know, for the most part, I should say always, because there's been some blowouts both ways. But, you know, I've seen it where one team's been bad and the other team's been a bowl team and vice versa, and they go down to the wire. It's such a game full of emotion that you can kind of throw the records and all the stats and all that out the window. I think Indiana's clearly a better team, but, you know, they're going to have to go up there and play. To get the win.
Yeah, I think the first time since 2015 where a bowl berth isn't on the line, and it's kind of weird to me. You know, David Bell's having a great year, 77 catches, 899 yards, and 6 touchdowns. He's been outstanding. He's probably going to win Freshman of the Year in the Big Ten. I believe it probably should come down to him and Matthew Bedford. Bryson Hopkins has been tremendous his entire career up at Purdue. He's tight end. He has 53 catches for 688 yards and 5 scores. He's come on lately. I believe he had 126 yards against Wisconsin last week. I put him as my All-American tight end. Working with a third-string quarterback in that offense, he's putting up numbers. He's done it his entire career and has just earned it. Milton Wright is another freshman. It's, you know, Purdue's future on offense is very, very bright. Now, their run game is absolutely atrocious. Xander, you know, King Doru is their leading rusher at 429 yards at under 3.5 yards per carry. Xander Horvath is after that. And then those are the two main running backs. Your third leading rusher is Jack Plummer, and fourth leading rusher is Jackson Anthrop. So, you know, this is, you know, kind of like those old IU teams where they couldn't run the ball and they just aired it out 60 times. That's what Purdue has been on defense. It's going to come down to can you block George Karloftis? And not a lot of people have been able to do that this year. He has 15.5 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks as a true freshman. He's another guy you could throw into that conversation as freshman of the year. But it's how is Purdue feeling after going to two straight bowls and then being eliminated from bowl contention? You know, do they bottle it up and say, hey, this is our bowl game? Are we and throw the kitchen sink at IU? Or is it let's feel sorry for ourselves, lick our wounds, and go? I don't think Rondale Moore is going to play. I know Kane Womack said he's going to prep like he's going to play, and it just doesn't make sense for him to play. You know, it would be his fifth game. I think Rondale Moore is going pro anyway after next year, but to run the risk of him getting injured late in this year and put in jeopardy next year, it's just not really worth it for Purdue. Matt, what is one key that you're looking for IU for them to win on Saturday?
Well, you know, I think you know, being able to, and I think to me this is always a key, and it's probably kind of a, you know, maybe a little bit of a lazy key, but I think being able to run the ball well enough to keep the defense honest. I mean, you mentioned George Karloftis, who's a terrific player. He's got 15.5 tackles for loss, which when I saw that stat today, I was like, I knew he had a good season, but that was really kind of eye-opening. He's been terrific. But I think, you know, I think that's going to be kind of a key. You know, I mean, Peyton Ramsey seems like he's fine, but let's be honest, the guy's taken some real licks here in the last few games, and the less you have to put on his shoulders, you know, where he is, you have to ask him to go out and throw for 350, 370 yards like they've had to a few times to win games, I think the better. It sounds like weather could be an issue. I know the forecast, I think, is calling for some possible rain or thunderstorms. So if that's the case, I think it's even more important that you're able to move the ball a little bit on the ground. You know, so to me, that's a key. And then defensively, you know, like I said, I think it's just making them make them drive the field. Don't give up cheapies. They're gonna run trick plays. We saw they did it at Wisconsin 2 years ago up there. They ran the fake punt against IU. I mean, this is, like you said, this is kind of their bowl game. They're not going to one. It'll be interesting to see what the mentality and the body language of their team is. Now, they're playing a lot of young guys, and if this was more of a veteran team, I think you'd maybe be more worried about them really being locked in, because, you know, if it was a junior, senior, a lot of, you know, older guys, because they would kind of understand what this is. I think with a young team, if I was the Purdue staff, I might be a little concerned that maybe the young players are going to mail it in, because for them, the bucket does not mean a lot. I mean, we heard it today from guys who are from out of state who talked Khalil Bryant and Nick Westbrook and those guys. When they first got there, they said they didn't understand what it meant. And I would have guessed that a lot of these freshmen who are not from Indiana don't understand what this game means and how important it is, because it's their first one. It's so new to them. And, you know, for them, there's no payoff after this week. Win or lose, their season's over. You know, so how locked in will they be? You know, that's why for Indiana, come out, get off, start fast, really kind of punch them in the mouth and see how they respond, because, you know, this is a team that obviously they're kind of, you know, this is it. They're playing out the season, and we'll see how motivated they are. Indiana's got another game no matter what, but you don't want to go into the bowl prep with three straight losses. So, and then special teams are always a big. I know, Sammy, that's something that you always focused on, and for good reason. It's something that, you know, the hidden yards and all that kind of stuff that comes into play that a lot of people don't pay attention to. But at the end of the day, it really does make a difference in winning and losing in college football.
Yeah, those hidden yards are always key. For me, what I'm looking for, just like you, can Indiana start fast? It's a you know, a young Purdue team who, if Indiana gets out to a big lead, are they going to pack it in and just go into the off season? I think having Wop Fillier, like you said, is huge. It opens up the entire offense. It allows, you know, Nick Westbrook and Donovan Hale, who they need to get open. You know, they're too good of a pass catchers to just not be a factor in games. And I think that's where, you know, teams have to game plan for Wop, and you know, then it leaves Hale and Westbrook a little bit wide open. You have Peyton Hendershot, who's had a really, really good season. I think getting him in space will help too. Now, who knows how good or how legit these tackle numbers are, but linebacker Ben Holt, who's the son of defensive coordinator Nick Holt at Purdue, has 104 tackles on the year. The next leading tackler is 53. So statisticians can say whatever they want on tackles. You just really rarely see that many tackles difference and all that stuff. But, you know, Holt is a terrific player. But can he guard Peyton Hendershot and this Indiana passing attack? The running game, I don't think you have to run for 200 yards. It's the Indiana offense hasn't done that all year. It's can you control the ground game? Can you get those, you know, 4 yards on first down and pick up those third and shorts and fourth and shorts that they've been pretty good at all year? And then finally, you know, it's got to be a mental key. Indiana's come off of two losses to two really good teams. Can you put that aside, go into the, you know, Ross Ade has typically been a house of horrors for Indiana outside of 2015 and 2010. In recent history, can you get out to a big lead, silence that crowd, which should be, you know, if you look at their ticket sales, it looks like it'll be a pretty good crowd. Can you handle that? Can you just put them out of their misery early? Like you said, and then defensively, you got to make tackles and make plays on the ball. You can't let guys go 76 yards for touchdowns. If David Bell and Bryson Hopkins make plays, that's so be it. It's going to happen. They're two very good players. They're going to make some plays. But, yeah, it's stopping their run game. They haven't run the ball all year. You can't let them be two-dimensional. That's what happened in 2017 when Purdue – it was Markell Jones – had like 400 yards on the season and ran for 208 yards against IU in that game. Those are the things that can't happen if Indiana wants to win this game. They got to come in. You've got a veteran. You got a lot of veterans on this team who have been here, who have had the bucket, who have lost the bucket, and they know how to handle themselves. And hopefully they come out with a little bit more of a sense of urgency than they did in 2017, because that game got out of hand really early. There were mistakes made that took points off the board for IU, and Purdue just had a field day the rest of the afternoon. Now IU came back and tried to come back and made it a 7-point game, but Purdue was basically in cruise control the entire day for that. Matt, do you have a prediction for Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game. I think you know, Purdue's going to do everything they can. It's going to be – they're going to throw the kitchen sink, and you'll probably see trick plays on offense and maybe some fakes on, you know, a punt or a field goal. I mean, who knows, maybe they'll even onside kick when they kick off. But you know, I think at the end of the day, Indiana's the better team. I think we talked about it a little bit after the game on Saturday. I think that Michigan game might actually be a little bit of – as disappointing as it was, a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because, you know, I think it'll kind of wake these guys up a little bit. I mean, not that they need to be woken up, but I mean, I think that kind of humble pie will get them more focused for this game than they would have already been. So, you know, I like Indiana to win, and you know whether it might play a part in the points, but I'll go 31-20 Indiana.
All right, and we had TJ, who couldn't be on the show. He sent me in his prediction. He said take the over, but he takes IU 38-21. I assume that means he thinks Brahms' offense could put up 31 points in whatever fashion that they do. Matt, I'm going to be honest. This game makes me really nervous. Indiana had control of the bucket. They've lost control of the bucket. It you know, the last couple years, it seems that Purdue has wanted it a little bit more than IU when they had, you had David Blau. Now with the young team, you know, you got to see how much, as you say, how much they want it. I'm going to take Indiana to win it. I don't know if it'll be that high scoring if the weather is bad, but I'm going to take IU to win this game. I'm going to go 34-24 IU, and lots of take the over on the trick plays too. I expect if they can find a way to have an offensive lineman throw a pass, they're going to do it. And if they add in a cartwheel like Miami or Ohio University did, that's what I'm expecting. If I'm Cade Womack, I'd say, you follow the ball wherever it goes. Don't let it out of your sight. It could be, you know, you have the old annexation of Puerto Rico play from Little Giants or the oop-de-oop from Varsity Blues. It's going to be a game where everything's on the table for Purdue offensively. So I'm going to take IU 34-24. I really hope that there's no thunderstorms because I really don't want to sit and get delayed. And that's another factor that could go into this. Ken, if they start the game and there's a lightning delay, how do teams respond and things like that, especially, you know, warming up and getting back into rhythm and things like that. So, Matt, thanks for jumping on last minute with us. I appreciate that. And, you know, you bring awesome stuff with recruiting. Any final thoughts on the bucket game?
No, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it is, you know, it's the last 2 years have been disappointing, especially after IU kind of dominated there for a while. But, you know, I think this is a team, an Indiana team, that they've cleared some hurdles that they haven't cleared before. And, I mean, people say what they want about Nebraska, but winning that game on the road at Nebraska was huge because of the environment they had to play in. And, you know, I think they've done some things that obviously haven't been done in Indiana in a while. And I think this team is you know, just kind of on a mission, and I expect them to play well. I mean, there'll be some plays for Purdue. Purdue will make some plays. Jeff Brohm is a terrific offensive mind and a great play caller. But in the end, I think Indiana's just got the better team. And I think, you know, losing 2 years in a row has really left a sour taste with the coaches and the players. And I think you're going to see them show up on Saturday and perform, you know, with that bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah, it was kind of a blessing in disguise, as you said, to kind of get your backside kicked against Michigan, and it was a little humbling. And you've seen it with this team a little bit before, where they kind of get out a little bit ahead of themselves, and how do you handle success? Ohio State humbled them. Michigan humbled them after everybody was kind of patting them on the back after a close loss at Penn State, where, you know, they probably should have won that game. If not for Big Ten officials. Oh, Big Ten officials. So if I'm a special teams coordinator, from now on, if you get tackled, just get up and run to the end zone. I cannot leave the show without commenting on that play because it was so egregious. And then something happened in the Purdue-Wisconsin game where Wisconsin kickoff coverage guy basically looked like he karate kicked the Purdue returner, and there was no penalty on that. So I expect the A-plus officiate.
It looked like the kick on the Wisconsin guy looked like, if anybody's ever played soccer, like a slide tackle in soccer, but he did it like in the air. It wasn't a slide tackle. It was like a jump tackle, but it was unbelievable that nothing was – I mean, there was no penalty on that, correct?
Correct. There was no penalty on that. It was kind of a move out of Mortal Kombat, it seems like. And, you know, I don't want to point out, but Wisconsin's playing Minnesota in a de facto Big Ten West title game on Saturday. Game day is going to be there. So all of that stuff is, you know, plays into the conspiracy theorist's hands. But anyway, Matt, have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with your family, and we'll see you up in West Lafayette on Saturday.
Okay, man. Thanks so much for having me. I had a blast doing it.
All right. As always, a pleasure talking football with Matt Weaver from Pigs.com. Check out all of his stuff. He is tuned into recruiting as well. Anyway, that does it for this evening's show. Please follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, as well as read all our things at HoosierHuddle.com. If you are looking for Christmas gifts for your fans, for your friends who are Indiana fans, we have a deal with Home Field Apparel. Those are the guys that brought you the 9-win Indiana shirts, as well as the Bison sweatshirt, which I'm currently rocking, and it is super-duper soft and warm. Click on the ad at the top of our site. With the promo code HUDDLE, you get 20% off of your purchase of Indiana gear. Just in time for the holidays, and enjoy that stuff. So follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, HoosierHuddle.com as well. And we'll be back after the Bucket game to break down potential bowl destinations, some recruiting updates, as well as a recap of the game on Saturday. I want to wish everybody else a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time with your family. If you don't enjoy your family, enjoy the football games and food that they serve, but hopefully you enjoy your family. Anyway, that does it for this evening's show. We appreciate it. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you in December.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.